Welcome to the MailRite Real Estate Agent Show, episode 47. Our special guest today is Chris Angel. Chris is an author, speaker, and coach who challenges old real estate assumptions and practices. Since founding Groundswell Business Consulting, Chris has worked with top agents around the country. His mission is to help real estate agents build a business that is more authentic to who they are. His most recent project, Smart Farming, teaches agents how to establish a farm in 6 to 12 months. He does this by using an authentic, layered approach rather than expensive self-promotion. Now, without further ado, let's get right into this episode with Chris. Hey, we are up on the Real Estate Agent Netcast interview with Chris Angel. And Chris, you're from the Northwest.
Northwest.
Somewhere up there in that rainy. I heard it's raining a lot up there, wherever you are.
It does. It does rain a lot.
I should know. I need to pull this up. We're really busy. But I've spent all my time listening to your podcast. You've got great podcasts. But that said, I'm going to ask you a tough question right away. Whether you're an entrepreneur, because you do an entrepreneur podcast, or a real estate agent, which is really an entrepreneur. So how do I go out, and I'm a new real estate agent or entrepreneur, how do I survive that first 3 months? I mean, if I'm a real estate agent, you better go out there and get a closing, get a listing, or get something going.
I have two answers for you. First one you may not like, because I think most people just want the immediate result or the immediate answer. But my first answer is you should have, before you ever get into real estate, you should have started your plan 6 months prior. You should have started building your list 6 months before you ever got your license. And too many agents have no barrier to entry. They get in, they take their test, and then off they go, and they don't know where to start. You should have started 6 months prior. In fact, you look at other businesses like Silicon Valley. If you're a startup company, you work on for 6 months on your pitch deck before you ever get venture capital and before you really even have a business. So that's my first answer. My second answer is more tangible. The short game and immediate results comes down to prospecting. And I don't really like prospecting. So here's what's good about our industry. In real estate, we have what people want. Like, people already want a house. They already want to do something in real estate. So our job becomes simply to help them self-discover that. And the way to do that is by asking questions, right? So here, if you want, I can give you the 8 questions, or I can just tell you a website to go to. But there are 8 questions I teach for the short play.
Well, you can tell us both, and we'll flip that website up. Sure, it'll be on the Blab, and it'll be on the timelinesofsuccess.com. It'll be on Podcaster's Home. It'll be on WP Tonic and anywhere else with it.
Fabulous.
Ends up.
All right, well, good. So the URL would be leadconversations.com. leadconversations.com. I hope the link's not broken right now, but either way, I'm going to give you the 8 questions. Here they are. And these are supernatural questions. So your ability to generate short-term leads is going to come down to your ability to have this conversation with as many people as possible. That's just the way that prospecting works. So question 1 is, where do you live? It's pretty easy, right? Question 2, how long have you lived there? Question 3, where did you live before that? Question 4, why did you move? So the first 4 questions are designed to create momentum in the conversation, right? Where do you live? Where did you live before that? Where do you live? How long have you lived there? Where did you live before that? And why did you move? Question 5 is, what do you like about where you live now? Question 6 is, what don't you like about where you live now? Question 7 then, and this question 7 is where the lead shows up, right? So if you've gotten a question, I have one client who goes question 1 and jumps to question 7 because he's too bottom line. He doesn't want to go through the rest. So he goes question 1 to question 7. Question 7 is, if you could live anywhere in the area, where would you live? And question 8 is, why haven't you done that yet? So by question 7, we're hearing, like, the better you are with this, the better skill you have at asking these questions, the more you'll be able to use them. Because sometimes people will say, well, if you could live anywhere in the area, where would you live? And the answer becomes, well, we're really happy where we are. But in reality, if you think about people's life trajectories and the plans, everybody's got something they want and they're not in it now. Like, we all have a different house we'd like to live in, a bigger one, a smaller one, or whatever. And it's usually not the one we're in right now. So it's going to come down to your skill set of being able to navigate their responses and push a little bit. Like, oh, that's great. I'm glad you like where you live now. But humor me. If you could live anywhere, where would you live? And see if you can't get them to answer that. And then question 8 is where the objection shows up, right? Why haven't you done that yet? Or, that sounds amazing. What's been stopping you? And it's going to come back to time and money. We're waiting for the kids to be out of school, or we had a bankruptcy last year, or, you know. And some people you can help and some people you can't. And that's why this becomes a numbers game in prospecting. That's my answer.
Okay, so that makes sense that you need to start that list earlier. But let's say they haven't. So they just need to get a list going right away. So how do they get that list going?
All right. Well, how they get a list going and how they get it going quickly, I'm not sure if you're implying that. But
you've got a geographical farm and you've got a personal farm. And let's say if you're new into an area, like I was talking earlier, if you don't know anybody where you're in your area, what do you do? I mean, you got to start.
how to get.
Well, I like geography for that reason. I think geography is a little bit quicker to the starting point. So I would pick a farm. I like to pick a farm around about 1,000 homes, owner-occupied homes. I'd like to see at least 5% turnover. Even more turnover is even better. And then I would go out and I would start connecting with those homeowners. It could be a food drive. It could be your door knocking for some reason. The reason that I give, that I like to give agents for door knocking would be something like a tool shed. So go out and buy one tool, like a pressure washer. Then go around the neighborhood, that is your farm, and say, my name's Chris Angel. I'm an agent that specializes in this area. And the reason I'm here is that I've started a tool shed for the community so that you all can use the tools whenever you need them, if you need them. We've started it with a pressure washer. What I'd like to know from you is, what other tools should we add in the coming months to this tool shed? Right? So as you're starting to build your interest, you haven't asked for anything. I'm not on your doorstep as the salesman. I'm here to add value to your life, and I'm actually asking you if there's anything else I can do to add value. So that's how I would start to do it, and then it comes down to your frequency. I would start a direct mail campaign that says, hey, you guys may have seen me this week. Here's the next tool I'm adding based on your feedback. And right, and so there'd be a direct mail piece that would go out and say, this is what it is, this is how you can borrow it, this is the next tool coming up, and then go do another door knocking round. And then go send another direct mail postcard and start to build relationship with your farm.
I wish somebody told me that when I had my design build construction company. I think that's the coolest idea, because we had some nice equipment. We could have got out there, and I had some people working for me. I could have had them out there helping and maybe making a little money on the side.
There's a book that came out a couple years ago now, called Utility from Jay Baer. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of keynote speaking at different conferences, but then he did an addition to that book. It was like Utility for Real Estate Agents. But his entire premise of the book was, we need to find a way to be more useful to the consumer. And he gives a lot of case studies in his book of, like, Hilton Hotels, for example, reaching out to people through Twitter about stuff that has nothing to do with Hilton Hotels, simply to be helpful to people in the town, right? So similarly, if we could just go out and be helpful to a community without always having to tack on the dang, you know, who do you know that wants to buy or sell, if we could just be helpful, it would go a long way in building a list.
That's good. That's good. So anyway, Jonathan, you have something to throw in there? Any ideas? Now, Jonathan comes from a tech side, and he's learned a lot about real estate since he started developing tools for real estate agents.
I thought that was fantastic, Chris, but I think there's so many ways. I think your ideas are superb, Chris, but I also think there's so many ways now, you know, Facebook, doing the thing you just said through Facebook, connecting people in a geo area through Facebook, joining groups on Facebook, open houses, you know, making sure you do get their email by offering a Starbucks card so they give you some real email address. Having some way of getting their details on iPad instead of some scrappy piece of paper, having some system.
Yeah.
Oh dear, you know, if you're in it, you know, you just got to join stuff, start building your Outlook or Gmail. You've probably got more in there. Start joining people through LinkedIn, because you can export their details out of LinkedIn. There's so many ways, isn't there, Chris?
I think, yeah, and if I took what you just said and sort of plussed it a little bit too, I think the way I was taught to build my database when I first got into real estate was to go out and find the people that I knew, find my family members, my friends, ask them if I can put them in my database. And I think that's pretty common for real estate. But what I'm teaching now and how I wish I were going to do it differently if I were starting over is to actually reverse engineer a database that converts. And the way to do that is to go find people who have a common interest with you. So even better than the Starbucks card idea is to, if I like wine and you like wine, is to start to find some type of lead magnet that talks about wine or some type of opt-in thing. You're going to opt in because you want my best 20 Cabernets under $20 and you want to know what that is. And you would opt in for that. And so if I built a database of 500 wine lovers versus 500 random people in my life, I would actually have a lot more longevity of communication and conversation, because I have something to talk about with my wine people. All my random people, I have nothing to talk about. There's nothing that keeping us, connecting us, right? There's nothing in common there.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I think it leads into your key thing that you want to talk about in this podcast, which was around that and how you fit that strategy in with blogging and kind of put blogging, supercharge your blogging in a way by what you've just said. So would you like to say some things about that, Chris?
Yeah, sure. I call it tribe building based on Seth Godin's book, Tribes. I love what, I follow Seth closely because I really like what he has to say about humanity and business and humanity. But tribes, you know, what he said about tribes are a group of people connected to one another, connected to a leader, and connected to an idea. And I think it's really important because when you look at most people's databases, there's no idea connecting everybody in that database. And so I think the evolution, for all of us that want a genuine or authentic business in real estate, and we don't want to just prospect our brains out and hope to cherry pick buyers and sellers, for people that actually want real connection, real influence, we've got to find a way to build a tribe. And to do that, we've got to do it around a particular idea that has us all interested. And so once you get that topic, so I call it a topic, right? Like the topic of wine, the topic of fitness, the topic of, it could be the topic of geography if you're going after a geographic farm. But once you have the topic, everything else gets easier. I used to run, like as an agent, I had a hard time with social media and blogging and stuff because I didn't know what to say. I ran out of things to say. I'm like, what market stats should I talk about now? And that's just not interesting. It wasn't interesting to me, and I was the agent, right? So if you want sustainability, if you want consistency, which a lot of agents wrestle with, if you want consistency in your lead generation or your marketing, then you've got to have something that you already can talk about ongoingly and not get tired of. So the first piece, I think, of building a tribe and finding your topic is looking at what topics turn you on. What do you already talk about on a daily or weekly basis? And from that place, you may have 5 or 10 different things that are interesting to you. Find the one that you think would land the best out here in the world, and then you go start to create content around that idea. And then you start to see who latches on and who contributes and who comments and who likes. And that is the beginning of establishing a tribe.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. It's not a concern, that would be too strong, is that obviously one of the reasons why real estate agents and the industry, the model still survives to today, and I can consider that for the next 10 years it probably to some extent be the same model, is that it's local, it's localized. So you need to choose a topic that you're passionate but also will appeal to people in the economic kind of social area that you want to appeal to. Am I waffling, Chris, or did that make any sense?
No, that makes sense. How are we doing on time there, Bill? I know you're.
Hey, we're going to go to a break, folks. And for you guys who want the extra bonus content, go over to one of our websites, and you will see what we're going to do at break. At break, we're going to go over some of your websites, and then we'll come back to the podcast. So you can catch this on YouTube or Google+. You'll see it live.
Are you fed up buying back the data from the big online companies only to find out that they are poor quality, inexpensive leads? Let us help you, the professional real estate agent, build your online fan club from the people in your local community who already know and trust you. They need to remember you when it comes to buying and selling that next home. MailRite has developed a powerful online system that keeps you in front of the most powerful referral group, the people in your local sphere of influence who know, like, and trust you. So come on over to MailRite and check out the program.
Okay, welcome back after the break. We're going to go a little bit more into more detail about Chris's business and some of the recommendations he has for entrepreneurs and for real estate professionals. Jonathan, I'll let you finish that off. Then the next 5 minutes, we're going to go into your life and success principles.
Sounds good to me, Bill. So, Chris, really love your idea around blogging because the way I see it, one of its great strengths of the strategy that you outlined before the break is if it's something that the agent really likes, a hobby, a passion, something, they're going to be much more committed to the blogging and they'll probably keep on doing it.
Yeah. You're talking about from the agent's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. The agent's going to keep doing it, but you know what else? Your database, your subscribers, they're going to keep coming back to your blog. Look, if you go blog about real estate, I'm only going to come back every so often because real estate just doesn't, it's not very sexy. And if I only, NAR says people buy a house on average every 5 to 7 years. So if your entire blog content strategy is about real estate for 7 years, you're irrelevant to me for most of those 7 years. There's a small 6 to 18 month window that as a consumer, I might be interested in what you blog about in real estate. So what is your retention strategy? What is your value add for the other 5 to 7 years? And I think that's why when I talk about tribe building, it's so important to find a topic that you love to write about or do a video about or do an audio about and then continually create content that they, that your tribe will keep coming back to consume that content.
Yeah, one final question before we go over to build your success principles, Chris. This is a bit of a broad question. I'm going to try and keep it succinct and see if you can come. There seems to be a ton of really good information out there from yourself on your podcast. We got Craig McDowell listening. He might join us after the podcast part of the show. Tom Ferry. There's a lot of really quality advice out there for estate agents. But I see a lot of estate agents not listening and not taking up that advice. Got any insights what that's about, really, Chris?
I think that's the human condition. You know, I think we as people, we want results now. And a lot of people, in the absence of a context for how to go about building a database, which is where I think most agents are, we don't have a good enough context for how to build our content and build a database around it. We're left with trying to do all the sales techniques that we're taught. And so we try one and don't like it. We go try another one and we don't like it. We try another one and we think it's good and it doesn't stick. And so I don't know that it's that people don't try. I think they try it, but they don't try it very long because it doesn't feel congruent with who they are. And so we go look for greener pastures. And I think that's right. I think we know in our gut that something doesn't feel right. And so we keep searching for the next thing. And what it looks like from the outside looking in is like, there's great advice and we're not doing anything with it. In reality, I think we are trying new stuff and we just still haven't found that thing that feels congruent. And that's why I get so fired up and passionate about what I teach, because it's about getting clear about who you are and what you like and then build from there and then go find other people who like that. And once you're in there, it feels right and you can stop looking. That's the thing, is like when you know it's right, you don't have to look anymore, and you know that you don't have to look anymore.
Oh, yeah, that was a great answer. Thanks, Chris. So I'll go back to my co-host, Bill. Let's ask Chris some of his success principles.
That was excellent. Very well. Hey, we're going to go over success principles, so you'll be on timeline, too, another RSS feeds. That's another thing we're playing around, is different RSS feeds here. Folks, for the listener out there, that means just different places that you find the podcast. We don't worry as much about downloads. We've got one of the top shows in iTunes and WordPress. We worry more about the call to actions, that people come to our websites and actually do things. And that's what really counts. So that's why we put these on different RSS feeds. So that said, here are your life and success principles. First one is find your unique abilities. What's that mean to you?
Say that again. I didn't hear
find
the first
your
part.
Unique ability and build from there is what you put. I like to keep it a little shorter.
Find your unique abilities. It was probably 10 years ago. There was a guy named Marcus Buckingham who used to work for the Gallup organization. He's written some books about finding your strengths. He said like 2 out of 10 people get to play to their strengths every day. That means 8 out of 10 people don't. And that, I don't know what that was. That hit me at a good spot in life where I just realized like we are each, I think a lot of us are tough graders on ourselves and we feel stupid a lot of times, and we don't need to if we would just focus on the things we're good at. But we're told so often in our culture that we need to get out of our comfort zone and do things we don't like, and that just sends us down a road of like confusion. But if you could actually look at the things that you're good at and start to go all in on those things, that would lead you to discover your unique abilities. And once you have that, if you built from there, nobody could compete with you on your unique abilities because they're your unique abilities, right? And that's what I think is missing from the fingerprint of agents' brands.
That's very good. Strength Finders from Gallup. I'm a big believer, supporter. Well, I know a few Gallup folks myself, and it's a great Strength Finder. Would be a good thing for anybody, any entrepreneur to go through. It's not very expensive to take the test.
Any of those assessments, Strength Finders, Myers-Briggs, DISC profile, any of those things that give you insight into how you're wired is really important. The more self-awareness you have, the easier your life and business is going to be.
And it's really inexpensive. I think it's like $17 to take the Strength Finder test in Gallup. Yep. I mean, it's well worth it. Anybody I know who's taken that has loved it. So let me drive on here and get your next point is trust the process. What's that mean?
I think when you find the thing that feels right, a lot of people are looking for the immediate result, and that doesn't always happen. There's a lag time between when you start implementing the things that feel good and when the results start to show up. And so the in-between is when you really need just to trust the process that what you're doing and what you're implementing will turn out. And it's the people who don't trust the process that abandon the thing and go look for the new thing that I think end up delaying their destiny. They delay their results.
Very good. Be relevant by being human.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, to me, it just sounds so obvious, but like so many agents are irrelevant now to the consumer because we're being real estate agents. We're not being human beings. We're being real estate agents. I just saw a video on Facebook today that was talking about like, hey, if you want to grow your database, go stand in front of a big box store and pass out your card and ask if they know anybody wants to buy or sell. I'm like, that is like the absolute most positive way to be irrelevant to people. Like, go find human beings that have interest in life and be a human being that's also interested in life. And you, what's great about, like I said, our industry is 90% of people want a house sometime in their future. So right. You just have to get in relationship upstream is the word I'd use. Get upstream from the transaction and build real relationships.
Yep, yep. I build relationships. I used to do home and garden shows for our custom division. I sold a home every time. I had, you know, three-dimensional computer systems and processes. But you get to know people, especially if you're building a home for them. But build that relationship.
And it works Chris, it works for Americans, but I'm English.
It doesn't work. You don't like being a human being. You don't like relevant human beings.
That's the problem.
Well,
yeah.
My co-host prefers the French. She tells me that every week.
Very true. I was embedded with the French.
I prefer the French than the English.
On the contrary, Jonathan, I think the English have even less tolerance for inauthenticity. I think
you're right.
I think that's true. I was being sarcastic there, Chris.
Yeah, now we're going into social cultural anthropology, which I went back to school with.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, reverse engineer a database that converts. Now, is that a life principle?
I think that's more of a success principle.
Success. Very good.
I think the life principle is more like trust the process. I think the reverse engineer database is a success principle, and I just wish I had known it earlier on. I'm doing it now, and it feels good, right? Because I'm reverse engineering a database around real estate agents who want a more authentic way to grow their business. And it's cool because those people, like through my podcast, I get people that email me and say, this has been so helpful for me, or this makes so much sense, or thank you for giving me permission to be myself. And it feels good. I feel like I'm contributing to the planet. Well, I was just going to say, when you have something that gives you influence and you reverse engineer it by finding other people who appreciate that influence, what happens is your database becomes this group of people that like are engaged and appreciate you. How refreshing.
You know, what I really like is everything you've said fits more than real estate, fits into everything you do.
Yeah.
Everything now. And it's changed. But it's changed. Life has changed. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to finish up with about 3 to 5 minutes. And when we come back from the break, we're going to ask you a couple questions. How can the listener get a hold of you? What can the listener do for you? And then one last question.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
Okay, Chris, thank you for coming back to the show, finishing up. We want to know, how can the listener get a hold of you?
A couple ways. Facebook is good. Facebook.com/TheChrisAngel, angels with two L's. That'd be a good place. You can also find me, that's probably the best way, but you could find me on my website, groundswellbc.com.
And you'll be on episode 254, I think, on Timelines Netcast. So timelinesnetcast.com, you can find the show notes there too. Jonathan, good. How about, and he'll be on the MailRight Real Estate site as well as?
Yes, episode 46.
46, right. So, Chris, hey, wait a second, before we go there, we got to find out, how can the listener help you, Chris?
Ooh. Well, you know, in the spirit of helping each other, you know, if you have a sense of you want to build a more authentic business and you feel like that's what needs to be the next direction for the real estate industry, like reach out to me, whether you want me to talk at your office meeting through a webinar or you want just to talk to me in a private message, whatever, like reach back to me and help me continue this conversation of exploring how agents can make their businesses more authentic.
That webinar idea, are they doing that now in the offices, bring people in on a webinar?
I've done that for some real estate brokerages, yeah.
Great idea. In fact, that's an amazing idea. I've never thought about this. I've got so many ideas from you just listening to your podcast. And I've been around for 25 years, so wow.
That's good.
Wow.
Thank you.
Great idea. Hey, Jonathan, one last question from you, and I'll finish it up.
Yeah, it's kind of question recap. So just to see that maybe I've really understood some of your core principles, Chris, what you seem to be saying to me is if you're an agent and you want a long-term career and be comfortable in your skin, is you've got to find your own voice, your own way of being. But combine that with technology, combine it with effective database building, utilizing the technology so you're funnel funnel is for, and you're relating to people that would relate to you. Would that be right, Chris?
Yeah, and just the finer details of that, it starts with, so many people start with the mechanisms, like the mechanics. They want to play with the, how do I do a Facebook ad, or how do I, they play with the CRMs. It starts with you finding the topic and the thing that you want to build from. It starts with the voice, to use your word, find your voice. That's where it starts. Once you figure out your topic and your format, like how you want to deliver your voice, then you can go figure out the mechanics of how do you put that stuff together.
I think I'm going to call the show The Authentic Agent.
Oh, that's a good name. That's a good name. Wait a second. That's a good name. Hey, yeah, one last question for me, and then we're going to get on off of YouTube and off the podcast and back on to Blab. So one last question. You live in Spokane, Washington, which I know is Spokane. I've been out of there into Coeur d'Alene. I used to work with a company in Coeur d'Alene, which did chief architect, did design work. Love them. In Spokane, what do people do for excitement? I mean, I've flown in there and then got out of there. What do they do?
In the summertime, it's a lot of people go to the lake. It's, you know, very outdoorsy in Spokane because we're on the east side of the Cascades, yeah. So it's very high desert type of, you know, climate. And a lot of boating, jet skiing.
Outdoors, yeah.
It sounds lovely, Chris. I'm sure there's tons to do.
I spend my time in Coeur d'Alene. It's nice over in Coeur d'Alene.
Yes, it's beautiful, yeah.
It's not great far. Country. Not far, Coeur d'Alene. How long does it take to get there? It doesn't
about,
take
it's about a 40-minute drive
yeah,
from where I am.
Yeah, it's not far at all. Yeah, it's quick. Well, thank you, Chris. We appreciate you on finishing up the podcast. Jonathan, great show. For more content, go to our websites, and you'll see more YouTube. We're going to go back on Blab, which we'll record. And we want to thank everybody for your patience, because the world is changing fast. That's why we use all these different platforms.